Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the Equippers International podcast. We're working our way through the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 7. We're dealing with the very difficult and challenging passage in Romans 7 on Paul's understanding of the law. We've gone quite deep into these truths, and I've scratched on some things and dug around in some places that maybe have made you feel uncomfortable if you're following along. I must admit, as the Lord was beginning to teach me these principles many years ago, it was very uncomfortable for me, too, to come to this place where I start seeing the law as Paul saw the law. Now, what I want to do in this episode is kind of wrap up Paul's comments here in verses 7 through 13, and I want to make some application and give a practical illustration that I think will help us begin to understand the spirit of what Paul's trying to impart. Let me finish reading there, starting in verse 12 through 13. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Therefore, did that which is good become the cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin by effecting my death through that which is good, so that through the commandment sin would be utterly sinful. He's wrapping up this little paragraph and he's saying, okay, so what's the point, Paul? He knows his readers are engaging him because he's talking to them about something that's super sacred. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the very essence of what they've built their religion on, what they build their relationship to God on. And he's pulling the carpet out from under them. He's saying, look, guys, the power of sin uses the very thing that you have elevated as the most sacred thing, and it uses that thing to bring about death in your life. So he says, what do we say? Is the commandment evil? Did the commandment cause me to die? Would God give us something that would kill us? No. He gave something so that what would kill us, that is, sin, that which brought death, that would be exposed so that we could see it for what it truly is, that it's utterly sinful. There is nothing good in sin. It's so deceptive. It's so diabolical that it can actually take the goodness of the commandment, which is holy, and turn it to be used for evil and ultimately death in the life of a person. Now, this is a very profound and deep truth, and something that I think most of us have to sit with and work out in our minds. Now, one of the questions I think that comes to mind for a lot of people as they venture into this discussion with Paul and really try to open themselves up to understand the gospel as Paul understands it in these deeper areas, not just in forgiveness and a ticket to go to heaven one day, but into the realities of the experience of the believer with Christ in relationship to sin and the law. One of the things that I think you grapple with in that journey is, well, if you don't have directions and you don't have commandments, as the Bible calls them, meaning if we don't have the directives from God in how to do this or not to do that, then how in the world are we to live? And Paul's answer to that would be, and he's going to go into much more detail in chapter 8, because he's leading us along this journey. I just want to go a little bit ahead and talk about this, because I think this illustration will maybe help you begin to process on a very practical level what this looks like. Paul's going to argue, and he's already mentioned it in chapter 7, verse 6, that we serve God in the newness of the Spirit. See, God's intention is that the life of His sons and daughters would be led by His Spirit, because the Spirit always leads us in a path of life. And there is no place for sin to operate in the Spirit. The Spirit is divine. The Spirit is part of God's nature. It is one and the same with God, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. It is the essence and the reality of God in our lives. When the presence of God in us is our life source, is that which we listen to and we obey so that we walk in the Spirit, there's no place that sin can deceive the Spirit of God. So that's why God designed us to live by the Spirit. And the illustration I want to give in regards to really how I believe this whole process is supposed to look is in the context of relationship. God created us to be connected to Him in relationship. Now, we know God is Spirit, and we know that we are natural. We are in the flesh. We are created beings in a natural sphere. But God designed it that way, and the connection point between Him and us is the Spirit. This is why we have to be born of the Spirit, so that we can connect with God and we can have relationship with Him. Now, these are very deep truths, but they're foundational to our understanding of the Christian life. We're not called into a religious interaction with God. Religion, by way of doing things for God, even obeying the commandments, is not what will lead to life. We looked at that two episodes ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It only brings death. The commandment is actually a minister of death in the life of a person. Only the newness of the Spirit can bring life. And so God calls us into this life-giving connection, which is relational. Now, I want to just make the application in the context of raising children. If you're listening to the episodes and you're a parent, you identify with this. But I believe this helps. Now, every illustration breaks down in the natural. I always give a disclaimer when we try to make illustrations in the natural to make a point of something that is deeply spiritual. But I believe this is what it looks like. Ultimately, when you raise children, when they're very young, yes, you have to be the intermediary between them and danger. You have to intercede, if I can put it that way, between your child sticking his finger in an electrical socket and electrocuting himself, or touching a hot stove, for example. And so we act, if you will, as a buffer. You might say we are the commandment. We are the directive in their lives at a very early age. But what happens as they grow up? We want them to be in relationship with us, and we want them to begin to know our heart for them, the heart behind the directive. Why do we have a motive that they do certain things and not do other things? Our motive is because ultimately, hopefully, we walk in wisdom because we have grown into a relationship with God whereby we're led by the Spirit. We've made mistakes, but yet we've come out to understand that the Spirit's directive in our life will always lead us into life. And it's not because we obey a commandment that we find life. We find life now because we obey the Spirit. And this is what we want our children to catch. We want them to grow up and to be led by the heart of what we've imparted to them, so that there's a relational connection, so that my children, when they were in that very important transitional phase of their lives, they began to make decisions not based on what they thought I thought was right or wrong, or what I have told them they should and shouldn't do. No, they move out of that place into a place where they begin to know my heart. They begin to sense the life that is imparted through the wisdom of the values that I have imparted to them. And they live by a higher principle. They live by a principle of relationship. of being connected to my heart as their father. And that is a very powerful place for a child to live. And this, in a very natural illustration, is how God wants us to relate to Him. He's brought us in to this beautiful relationship with Him based on a connection in the Spirit, whereby we know Him by the Spirit. We know His heart. We know His motive behind the things that He would want us to do. We don't focus on the commandment of what we should do. We focus and live by the Spirit of His heart and His life in us, directing us all the time. And this is why it's so important that we are aware every day of how to walk by the Spirit. Now, we're going to talk a lot more about walking by the Spirit in subsequent episodes as we get into chapter 8, and Paul's going to talk about life in the Spirit, and we're going to go into other areas of his letters, and we're going to look at that. But for now, I just wanted to make this illustration to kind of help you get your mind around the heart of what Paul's talking about here. There truly is a new and better way of relating to God. Now, this new and better way came about 2,000 years ago. It's not something new 21st century, but for many believers, they need to understand that they might have taken a hold of some old principles along their discipleship journey, and they need to repent and move away from those things because they will never produce life the way God designed it to happen. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.